gas. Magic. Oh 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 gas. Magic. Hey everybody, welcome to CatCast episode number 279, and I'm GPD here in Tokyo, Japan. Coming at you live on tape is Wombat.
I am live and on tape.
You're not on tape, you're in a
digital. I am, I'm sitting on a roll of scotch tape as we speak.
I see. Shipwreck, what are you sitting on?
I'm sitting on a butt that just got bigger because I ate a bunch of chili.
Chili butt.
Chili butt. That is what I'm sitting on.
Nice, nice. Welcome to the show, everybody. Big show today.
Because it is?
I don't know. I finished Mass Effect 3, and we need to somehow talk about it in a way that has no spoilers.
That's next week. We got to do that next week.
But we got to say something.
Yeah, we'll definitely do big spoiler talk next week.
Okay.
But this week, we could talk about your impressions, we'll say.
Got it.
Yeah.
Excellent. And we can also talk about Passover.
We can talk about Passover.
I haven't finished that yet either.
Well, how was your Easter?
My Easter was good. I went to the Reds game.
That sounds like a very traditional thing to do.
Easter Sunday was also Buddha's birthday this year.
So what did you do for Buddha's birthday?
I had to go to Thai school. It was, even though it was a Sunday, they had like Thai's first day back from spring break, and the kids, you had to bring flowers to bring to Buddha.
And nice. Then, well, we went to a Seder, but the story I was going to tell, and I figured, you know, it's kind of funny. One of the books we have, the book that you read on Passover is called a Haggadah. And my wife has, from when she was a little girl, her, you know, child's first Haggadah, which she gave to Sabrina. And
excuse
it
me for a moment. Haggadah, go to the bathroom.
Exactly. For those who don't know what the story is, it's basically the movie The Ten Commandments. If you've never seen that movie, shame on you. It's a very good movie with Charlton Heston. But and the book basically just tells that story in like picture book format, as you know, any small child's book does. And I'm telling Sabrina the story, and we get to the part with the burning bush. And, you know, it says, and God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. And Sabrina, who she's looking at the picture, she could see Moses. She could see the burning bush. She goes, who is God?
Right. Exactly.
Who is God? Just as innocent as a three-year-old could ask that question. And I'm like, that's a pretty deep question. I'm not quite sure how to answer that to you just yet.
Right. One of the other kids on one of the school's family trip asked, you know, they say a little prayer to Buddha before they eat. So, you know, we're our little picnic lunches. And then one of the girls, the other mixed kid there, whose dad is from Texas and her mom is Japanese, you know, turned to her mom during the picnic and asked, like, why do we have to thank Buddha? Like, what did he do? And mom was just like, shut up. His school's really cheap. She may not have said that in probably public, but that's what she was thinking.
Buddha did. Buddha made a cheap school.
Right. Buddha's school's really cheap and it's really close to mama's work.
That's funny.
Excellent. So what else is going on?
Well, one of the hosts of this show was just inducted into their high school athletic hall of fame.
I know who it wasn't.
I know who it wasn't also.
I'm guessing it was Shipwreck.
It was. I haven't been inducted yet. That doesn't come until August.
You've been nominated?
No, I got. I'm in. It's that the ceremony is in August.
I see.
So something I did 15 years ago, I just got a random call out of the blue that tells me, "Congratulations, you've been inducted into our high school hall of fame."
What does that entail now?
I don't know what kind of privileges I get with that. But
you get to be king of the prom, I think.
And I think you get 20% off at CeCe's Pizza with that, too.
Oh, I hope so. That would be great if I got some kind of discount card with it. I think I have to give like a speech and stuff.
Wow.
So here's my question for you. What were your records in high school that led to this Hall of Fame induction? Don't be modest. I mean, you weren't the only athlete on your varsity basketball team. So what is it that made you the inductee? Because I don't know these things, and I'm actually very interested. I'm not being condescending. I'm legitimately interested.
It's basketball is kind of a secondary thing for me in high school. I was good at track and field and cross country. I won a lot of track and field and cross country races.
Mm-hmm.
I was our league's runner of the year for both sports my senior year, and I think I was first team all the other years.
Runner of the year, huh?
Yes, I could run.
that's good. How about now?
Run, Shipwreck, run.
Can you run?
Now? Yeah. I don't have to run now.
So do you run now?
No, I ran in college and I hurt my knee. So
yeah, it's bad for your knees. That's why I never do anything.
Which is so great for your back.
It's perfect. I can almost stand up now. I didn't know that we had a runner, not only a high school athlete Hall of Fame inductee, but a runner of the year as well.
Yeah, it happened. I've got a big tub of like medals and trophies and stuff downstairs that I have no idea what I'm supposed to do with now.
You got to bring them to the Pawn Stars.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be interested in these whatever kind of medal this stuff
is. I've come to pawn my Runner of the Year golden shoe.
I'll give you 50 cents for it.
Right, get out of my store.
No, I got to bring in a friend of mine to make sure it's authentic.
Right, right. Why does he have to explain that every time? Like, we've never seen the show. The show's only 20 minutes long when you take out the commercials. And there's, yes. You know, and there's like a minute intro. I mean, you know, he's guys wasting valuable time.
Like the guy pawning the thing doesn't know he's on TV.
Yeah. Are you going to watch the episode of iCarly, Cheapy, that they're going to be on?
I don't even want to know about that. I don't know
The girls have to pawn something at the pawn shop in order to get Sam's mom out of jail.
They live in Vegas?
No, they go to Vegas to get the mom out of jail in Vegas.
All right. Let me guess, Chumlee's going to do something really stupid.
I think that's every episode of Pawn Stars anyway.
It's got to be Chumlee and Ghibli Ghibli.
Ghibli? What the hell? What's your problem?
Yeah, they got to be in the same like scene, right? They got to both take their shirts off and dance around.
I believe if that happens, the world implodes on itself. So I don't know if we want that to really occur. I did go to the movies over the weekend.
Oh?
I saw The Hunger Games.
How was it?
It's good.
You had read the book, right?
I read all three.
Read all three?
Yes. I read the book. And I think having read the book, there are certain things about the movie that I kind of understood that weren't really explained very well in the movie.
Okay.
Where if I had not read the books, I probably would think that, boy, this is a dumb movie.
Yeah.
Why is that one color or that one character not the right race?
Well, actually, she is the right race that they explain her to be in the book, but that's just people who don't know how to read English.
Yeah.
But
it's okay, right?
It's okay. I wanted it to be great. I love the books.
It looks a little budget from what I've seen.
It's not even that. It's, you know, there are certain things they just don't develop well enough. The character development, you know, the relationship, I sound like a 13-year-old girl, but the relationship between Peeta and Katniss, you kind of see it kind of You see the conflict in Katniss throughout the book and where her own emotions are, especially because, you know, since the book is told from her perspective.
Right.
In the movie, it kind of loses that.
So you don't know why she doesn't get with that dude.
It just doesn't work as well. Also, Haymitch just wasn't right.
Woody Harrelson?
But Woody Harrelson's great. It's not Woody Harrelson's fault. It's the direction. And, you know, because he's not, yes, he drinks a lot, but he's not drunk.
He's not a a fall over drunk.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
You know, in the book, he's like, yeah, in the book, he's like vomiting all over the place.
Right, right. So he doesn't eat. He just drinks and he just falls over and passes out in his own filth.
Yeah, he's like Nick Cage in Leaving Las Vegas.
Right, just collapse on a table.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so he's not like that in the movie?
All
right.
No, he's not like that at all. He's just like a functional alcoholic.
Oh, that's no good.
Exactly. And I think you lose a lot from that. But she's great. Jennifer Lawrence.
Katniss.
Katniss. I'd watch her act out the phone book, so good for her, I guess.
All right, then. How about some show feedback from last week?
We did a show last week, and Bastion the Threes says, man, sad to hear about Guzex. I'm trying to cash out, but there are little to no games available. Seems like everyone is going crazy trying to get out while they can.
Yeah, I saw just a little correction to our discussion from last week. I saw we mentioned how much we thought the sale was for, and it was actually, you know, and I don't know if the sale is actually consummated, but the terms that I found after I Googled around for a bit were it was the $150,000 in cash plus some shares in the company that is buying GooseX. So the value is more than just $150,000.
Yeah.
But if they actually wind up getting it, like, you know, who knows?
But it seems like the site's essentially already gone if there's nothing left to trade and no one's trading things anymore.
Right. This is a good chance for us to step up our marketplace.
Yeah, get to it. Do some work.
Yep.
Get Super Programmer John on the phone.
He's working on it.
Good. Bickle had to say, Dragon Age Origins had a fantastic ending. Besides providing resolution to his story, isn't exactly rocket science. Of course, he's alluding to the Mass Effect 3 ending. And it was funny because I was thinking about it also. And I really like Dragon Age Origins, the first game. Just throwing that out there. I need to play that game again. Now, Ship, did you ever finish that game?
I did not. I didn't really dig that game too much. I've seen the ending of it because Mrs. Shipwreck played the crap out of that game. I know she did not like the ending. So
I thought the ending of that game was okay. I think it was able to get away with more. But also that game kind of flowed right into that expansion pack. So, you know, which I thought was really good, Dragon Age Awakenings. Which I thought was better than Dragon Age 2. So, but Dragon Age...
I thought everybody thought everything was better than Dragon Age 2.
Yeah, everything pretty much is better than Dragon Age 2. That game was just rushed out the door, unfortunately.
So is BioWare losing their touch here? I mean, not that we need to talk about the actual ending of Mass Effect 3, but after finishing it, I could say that it was certainly not satisfying at all. It didn't make me want to, like, kill somebody or write a letter or anything like that or anything in between even, but it made me, I was disappointed, and me and Mrs. Cheapy sort of looked at each other and were like, why?
Because it doesn't, I think there's two main issues with the ending of Mass Effect 3 without spoiling anything is, it doesn't provide any real resolution if you've played all three games, and it doesn't, and it's poochied. It's totally poochied.
Right, right. Your poochie analogy was a good one.
Right? It's spot on. So, and that's really, because when you get to it and you watch it and you're like, I guess,
Right, why did it end this way? I mean, I really like the ending of the second one. I thought that was really exciting the way, you know, you had to assign crew members to different tasks and you knew that, like, there was a chance some people could die. I thought it was really well. I mean, I didn't like, you know, I didn't think, like, the big boss battle was very
strong.
No,
but that's a minor quibble in a much larger,
it didn't bother me at all. And I still thought the ending was exciting.
Yeah. Did you lose any crew members in Mass Effect 2? Let's talk some Mass Effect 2 spoilers.
I did not.
Did you ship? I forgot.
No, I did not.
Okay. Because it was funny, I was talking to Ben Gilbert, and his Tali died in Mass Effect 2.
Ah.
So there's a whole chunk of game that must be completely different. And we, you know, and Chip, you and I had this conversation. How is the game if, like, say you lost everyone in Mass Effect 2? Because that's possible. All your crew members could die. How is Mass Effect 3 must be so awkward?
It's just you, James, and Liara.
Hey, man, don't forget to pay up your $10.
Oh, and that guy.
And that guy in Java. Reapers. Yeah.
Don't worry. Reapers. Look, don't be talking to me about the Reapers. I've been around for 50,000 years, man.
I mean, is that really it? Is it literally just, you know, and if you, especially if you don't want to pay the extra $10, you have two crew members the whole game, that's it? Just two people on your ship?
It's worth it, man. Come on.
No options on what squad members to take?
I don't know.
Chip, how far are you? There's no options anyways. I've chosen the same two the whole game.
Same two? Yeah, pretty much same two. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Jamaican guy and Liara?
No.
So I take.
I go with Garrus and Liara.
I switch it up between the Jamaican guy and Garrus, and I like to keep Liara. Although there was some moments where I had Ashley, who may or may not be in your game if she died in the first one, and Tali, because I had slept with both of them, and I like that they don't talk to each other. It makes me laugh.
Wait, Ashley, could she die in the first one?
Yes. Your choice was between Caden Alenko and Ashley.
I thought that was based off of what gender your shepherd was.
I thought
one or the other died just depending on your gender.
No, you make the decision.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, now you make the decision on who lives and or who dies. And I chose to let Ashley live and Caden dies. And isn't it, you know, so Caden's not in my game at all.
Good choice, Mon. Where are the white women at?
Yeah, he's in Shipwreck's game though, right?
No, that guy's a douche.
Oh, I thought he was in your game.
No, he's not in mine.
He's in my wife's game.
Oh, there you go.
How far are you, Ship? Can you say without...
I am... I would say I'm past the second major plot.
Okay.
So I've got to be wrapping it up. I have my full crew. And so right. I probably have another couple days, maybe.
You haven't done the final assault yet.
No. I'm still wrapping up loose ends of the what I would say was the second major plot point.
Even that I thought was like rushed.
It's boring. This game, it's just not as good as Mass Effect.
You know what the other big problem is with this game, and I'll say it. You know, and again, I loved it. I really did. I really thought it was a great game. But you know what? If at this point you can't get the Citadel to be on one load screen, you need to go back and fix it.
What do you mean one load screen? It has to change.
I should not see more than one load screen while I'm on the Citadel. Just loading to get onto it, and that is it.
I don't even care about that.
Oh, it bothers me to no end. Because you're only going there to talk to maybe five people. Really, it's a 3-minute trip to the Citadel.
Oh, no. It's not. You have to go eavesdrop on everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You go there, you eavesdrop on people.
Only the first time. No, but then you wind up going back. And it's so... And even that's kind of pointless.
Well, it was boring just to go back there. Just to run out of things to do and say, oh, I guess I got to go back to the Citadel and eavesdrop on people or...
And walk around and then like, oh, I don't want to be in the hospital. I have to go to the Presidio. So I'm going to get into the elevator and go to the Presidium. But then there's no one there. So then I have to get in the elevator and go to the embassies. And it's just, you know, it's things that should literally take, you know, a minute to do are now 5 to 6 minutes. And your 20-minute trip to the Citadel has now become an hour trip to the Citadel. And it's mostly because you're waiting as you go up and down in an elevator. And it was acceptable in the first game?
No, you don't. You're stretching that out a little bit.
No,
you don't
not.
Wait in the elevator very long.
Yeah, you wait. The load screen pops up. There is a load screen. It is 10 to 20 seconds.
Okay.
I don't know. The loading didn't bother me at all.
It didn't bother me at all either.
Oh, it bothers me
It was the whole concept of having just to go back to the Citadel bothered me.
Yeah. Maybe it's just because I just didn't want to go back. Maybe because walking around the Citadel seemed... Especially when there's no reason to... Like, all the shops you could get to on your own ship.
Right, but you get a 10% surcharge.
Yeah.
Service charge,
Exactly.
You don't want to buy anything from them anyways.
Exactly.
There's no reason to buy anything in this game. Like, no. I'm still using the same crap that I had at the beginning of the game.
I bought the Spectre pistol.
I did too. That pistol's pretty badass.
I don't know why, though. It didn't really matter, probably.
Because you had the money.
Right, I had the money.
Right, that's the only reason I just buy fish and stuff. Like, there's no reason
I buy the fish and the model ships, and I buy armor parts. No. Not full suits of armor, just parts of armor.
Right. All right, well, I guess we'll talk about it more later, but
yeah, I still like it, but it's just they had a lot to live up to after Mass Effect 2, and it's just not as good as Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's as good as Mass Effect 2 either, but that doesn't mean it's not a great game. It just means it's not as good as Mass Effect 2.
Right.
Yeah.
That video, it was like the 10 things we hate about the Mass Effect 3 ending by Angry Joe on YouTube is pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I recommend people watch that one because it pretty much sums up what we're going to talk about next week.
Probably. All right. Anything else here?
We don't have to do the other ones.
Okay. Did you guys watch Drive yet?
No, of course not. I watched The Hunger Games. What part of that did you miss?
Mario64 wrote in and he said, I hope Ship and Wombat watch Drive so they can discuss it. And by the way, I read some of the comments in the show feedback. I never said that it was good or that I recommended it. I just wanted them to watch it. So don't assume that I thought it was some awesome filmmaking or anything like that. I wanted to get their opinion on it. That's all.
Did you watch it, Chippy?
No, I have not. I watched Puss in Boots instead.
I've seen that.
It's not bad.
It's good.
Yeah. Don't get confused with the William Shatner version, though.
No, the one you saw stars the Nathan XB, right?
Antonio Banderas?
Oh, is he the Nathan XB?
I don't know. I don't know what that
is. I don't know who the Nathan XB is.
I just know that it's Antonio Banderas in the movie.
It is Antonio Banderas. He's also the Nathan XB.
I watched...
That was funny to other people, just not you two.
Right. I don't know. You can't throw out like American TV commercial references and expect me to get them. You know, unless they show the commercials on the NHL Game Center, which they usually don't. I watched the Muppet movie, though. That was really good.
Oh, what'd you think? You liked it?
It was really cute. Yeah, I think I enjoyed it more than Ty, to be honest.
I don't think that movie could hold a child's attention because it didn't hold Sabrina's.
He sat through the whole thing.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on then. How about, I still say you should watch Drive, though.
I have a free rental from Redbox.
Do it.
So maybe.
You're not going to like it, though.
Great.
Unless you really like to hear a song about a real hero and a real human being. If you like that, if that concept sounds appealing to you, then you should definitely rent it. All right, let's do the new releases.
Okay. Let's see. What came out this week? A couple 2D fighting games came out. We'll cover those real quick.
Okay.
At retail, Phantom Breaker came out. And on Xbox Live Arcade and PSN, Skullgirls came out. And I haven't had a chance to play either of those yet. But I've seen Skullgirls before, and the animation's really nice looking.
Yeah, I'm looking at the screenshots now. It looks interesting.
All right, what else?
Fez comes out Friday for Xbox Live Arcade.
It's been getting good reviews, right?
It has been getting good reviews.
But have you been reading the comments on those reviews?
No.
Your games suck.
People are refusing to buy the game because of the comments the guy made about Japanese games.
Right.
Oh, that Phil Fish said that Japanese games suck. Yeah. Okay.
It's not supposed to
I've been playing
nice guy.
I've been playing some of it. It has a hard time holding my attention.
Really?
I would say. Yeah.
95 from IGN. Can't hold chip right.
Okay.
Attention.
Is
it too Japanese?
It's basically no. Well, it is a little bit of Japanese though. Because it's a lot like Crush. The game that was on PSP and then recently was redone on 3DS, where it's 2D and then you can rotate the camera. So it's actually, instead of being a square, it's actually a cube that you're rotating around.
All right.
And that's how all the puzzles are kind of figured out, because you see stuff from different vantage points. And it's got this whole 16-bit or 8-bit like retro graphical style to it. And it's just it's a little bit too minimalistic for me. And at the same time, the puzzles are like rotating that around confuses me. And so then I don't want to think about it too hard.
You,
so
a master of mechanical engineering, are having a problem with the puzzles?
No, I'm not. It's just like I don't find a reason to do them. Like, it's not rewarding enough for me so far.
You're not enamored by the game's charm.
It's got charm. I will say it has charm. There's a really clever bit at the beginning where the game starts in 2D, and then the transition from that 2D into the 3D is kind of neat. It's cute. But I like that it's only $10.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a surprise, actually.
That's cool. Yeah, I was figuring 15 for it, since it's been talked about for 2 or 3 years now. But I don't know. I've seen it a couple times in the past too, so I think that might have taken some of the like excitement away from me.
It's not out yet, right? Is it later this week?
No, it's out Friday.
Oh, all right.
It's good. Like, if you think you have interest in it, I think you'll like it. It's just, I don't know, it's a little bit slow for me at the beginning. I'm going to keep playing it.
Okay.
It's one of those games, like, I feel like I have to play it.
Right.
So.
Just to see if this guy has a right to say
you have to finish Mass Effect 3, then you can play Fez.
Well, that's exactly what's happened. I mean, I would have played through it by now, but I'm trying to get through Mass Effect 3.
So that's because that should be your top priority.
Yeah. Also, one that I have to play is this Sour Patch Kids game that came out for Xbox Live Arcade and PSN.
For $5.
Yeah, World Gone Sour. That's a weird little title.
Have you played it?
I played the trial, most of the trial. And you play as these little Sour Patch Kids. And it's got some of like Loco Roco almost, to where you can like combine Sour Patch Kids and become a bigger one and then split back out. To get to different spaces and everything. But it's got this announcer that almost kind of reminds me of the announcer in Bastion. But he's like super sarcastic, and he also curses a little bit, which is odd. Like, the game seems like it's aimed at an older audience.
Hey, man, go like fuck yourself. Now I'm the announcer for World Gone Sour.
Yes, he's also Jamaican.
Guy needs work after Mass Effect 3 is over.
So, I don't know. It's $5. It didn't seem too bad. And then I got the Splatters game for Xbox Live Arcade 2, and I have not had a chance to check that out yet. Something about little goo balls, and you build up combos and stuff.
The original name of that game was The Shits, I'm assuming?
Shit Your Pants, I think.
Yes.
Oops, I Shit My Pants.
Let's see. Pinball Arcade came out for PS3 and Vita, and I bought that. That's $10. It's the same thing that came out last week on Xbox Live Arcade. That has the four tables in there. And if you buy it on PS3, you get the PS Vita version for free.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I've heard reports, though, that if you do it in the other direction, it's not working. So if you buy it on Vita, it's not giving you the PS3 version.
Right. You mean the experience is not seamless?
No. And the game itself, like, and it's weird because on PSN, it mentions this nowhere. Like, you don't find out that it's actually going to work to give you the Vita version until after you've actually bought the game. Then it, like, both games just show up in your cart.
Right.
So that's a little bit odd. And the games aren't, it's not like a Major League Baseball 12 where you can pick up a game and continue it on the Vita.
I see.
It's just two separate games.
Or like Motorstorm is like that, right? The RC Motorstorm game? You can play on the PS3 and save this, have the same save game between the two, or no?
But no, you can't have the same save game between the two in this.
Right. But Motorstorm you can.
I think so, yes.
Okay.
So I haven't played the PS3 version at all. I played the Vita version a little bit today. I played each table once. And the tables play fine. They seem a little bit fast. I'm used to playing Pinball FX now, which has it's got a stickiness to it. It has a little bit more gravity and weight to the ball than the ball that's in Pinball Arcade does. It just seems to just fly everywhere. But my main gripe with it is that it's constantly trying to connect to the online servers to upload high scores every time you play a table.
And it's
so
slow.
If you're not connected, it still goes out there and tries to find the internet. So if you're sitting there in a public restroom with no internet to be had, it's wasting your time, valuable time, trying to get that internet connection. And then after that, every time you're done with a table, also it saves, and while it's saving, it brings up a generic end system, the operating system save screen, which is also, it's just I kind of just want to play some pinball. I don't need all this crap going on.
Right.
So they need to fix that before I would say this is a very good product on the Vita.
Gotcha. All right. Cool. So that's Pinball Arcade.
Yes. That is the very exciting name of that
product. All right. Is that it for the new releases?
I think so.
Some other free game came out for Vita. Oh. It's basically Bejeweled.
Oh.
But it's that fast version of Bejeweled where you only get to play for a minute.
Ah, right. Right. From Hyundai.
And this is called something, something, something Montezuma Blitz.
Old Spice.
And I would recommend not downloading that, even though it's free.
All right. It's no MotorStorm, RC.
No, it's not. I appreciate that there's a free game out there, but that one is constantly trying to connect to online.
Right.
And that's really annoying when the game's only a minute long.
Right. All right. So Sony's got some work cut out for them on the Vita's online capabilities. It doesn't seem that whole online transitioning to online on the Vita seems really clumsy. The Wi-Fi will just be off, even though I'm sitting in my living room. The mm-hmm. Wi-Fi is off. And then when I go to use a game that has Wi-Fi, it seems to have to, you can just watch it going through the process of turning on the Wi-Fi, trying to connect.
I understand they're trying to save battery, I'm sure, is what the issue is there, but
it sucks.
It sucks.
It should just be really the iPhone, does. Where I take the iPhone that's been sitting on my desk for 10 minutes, I push the button, and look, I'm connected to Wi-Fi immediately. Oh, and look, I'm getting NHL Game Center updates on my iPhone, which are going to spoil the Pittsburgh Flyer game for me.
Aww.
Even though they're losing 3-1, and it seems like it's pretty much over. All right, what else we got? We got here. Yeah, Penguins are pretty strong.
Really? They're always
Spirit
strong.
Camera.
Who?
Yeah. Spirit Camera for the 3DS. I'll talk about that next week. I haven't really had a chance to play that too much.
Okay. Is that it for the new releases?
That is it.
All right. Some keg shopping news. Call Me Steam writes in and he says, I've been thinking about compiling a list of all the video games I own. I know Shipwreck keeps tabs on his titles, but do Chibi or Wombat, and what program does Ship use? And then he wants to know more about the keg collection system and how does it compare to other game collecting sites like GooseX and GameFAQs. Oh, GameFAQs has a collection? I didn't know that. Shipwreck.
They do. I don't like GameFAQs collection very much. GooseX is obviously, I wouldn't suggest that one now because
right.
that's kind of in flux.
Right.
I don't know what Decidotron is.
That's the Penny Arcade app that they made with EDAR.
Okay.
EDAR.
Is that as good as CAG?
I don't know really too. I tried it. It didn't seem that exciting.
Mm-hmm. I use the collections on CAG, and I also use a program called Gamepedia, which is a Mac only program. I know there's similar programs to it on Windows as well, but Gamepedia is pretty good, and it also they have a iPhone app too that syncs up.
Ours is going to do that soon.
Yeah, that when we have an iPhone app out. Right. I believe it. For right now, I'm just going to stick with the one that's out.
Oh, the one that exists, you mean?
Yeah.
He showed you.
Right. Well, you can eat Call Me Steam. You can go with the one that exists. Or you can... Well, ours exists now, too, just not on the iPhone. But you will be able... You can get price alerts. You can set price alerts on CAG for games on your wish list and things like that. It's good. It's actually pretty good, but it's going to get better. So you should definitely do a quick run on CAG. You'll see how quick it is to add games to your collection and wish list and stuff like that. All right, let's do a quick little ad for our friends at GoDaddy.com for all your domain registration and web hosting needs. 10% off any order, CAG 10, $5 off a $30 order, CAG 5 off 30, and $7.49 domain registrations with CAG domain. It's GoDaddy.com. Yeah. All right, let's move on to some multi-platforming, Wombat.
Sure.
I see we have a lot of Mass Effect 3 stuff on here. Did we cover all this? Yeah, so
we pretty much covered all of it. I mean, a lot of it is about, you know, there was that... A Better Business Bureau blog. I don't think I could say that again. about whether or not, you know, they misled the consumer.
BioWare
misled the consumer, and the article actually agrees with the customer.
Yeah, well, they did. BioWare promised, you know, like this open story that is going to have your choices are going to make an impact on the ending, and it really doesn't. When you you can go and watch all the endings, you'll see they're basically all the same. So yeah, it is misleading. And it's weird too, because there's all these quotes existing from the head muckety mucks at BioWare talking about how this isn't like other games where the ending's all the same. Like your choices really matter throughout, you know, all three games. Like what went wrong? I mean, did they have some other ending planned, you thought, and they're either going to try to sell it?
I really don't know. That's what's so interesting is like, you're right, because there are the quotes that everyone, you know, requotes over and over and over again. You know, the Casey Hudson famous one where it won't be A, B, or C. And it just doesn't match the rest of the game. That's what I think is so awkward about it, is that it really does stand out as if all of a sudden it's like if you were watching The Simpsons and all of a sudden it became Family Guy at the end. You would notice.
The actual quote from the Mass Effect website is, along the way, your choices drive powerful outcomes, including relationships with key characters, the fate of entire civilizations, and even radically different ending scenarios.
But yeah,
there's no radically different ending scenario. By any definition of the phrase radically different, or even radical or different separately. Yeah.
And it's surprising. It's not that it's not that the ending is bad. I think there's, you know, for those who haven't finished the game, and, you know, myself before I finished the game, I'm like, how bad could it really be? But bad isn't really the right word. It's disjointed.
Not good is a good word.
And nonsensical. And those are the real issues.
Yeah.
And we'll really dissect it probably next week. So look forward to that, everybody.
Matt D. Gren writes in, and he wants us to do an F. Mary Kill. You know what F. Mary Kill is?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so it's Liara, Ashley, and Miranda. I am going to fuck Miranda, marry Liara, and kill Ashley.
That's the right answer.
Right, because Liara is going to, you know, is pretty smart, and she's going to hang around for a while, and she's probably going to look hot because she lives for a long time. She's going to look hot for a while. She'll take care of you when you're old and dying. Ashley, who cares about her? And Miranda's got that ass, you know?
Ashley is a little whiny in Mass Effect 3.
Oh, yeah. Well, she gets, yeah. You know.
Neither one of you slept with her in the first game, right?
No.
Yeah, I did. So she spends that first couple of hours of the game just whining about, I don't know if we could ever be what we were like before because you work for Cerberus.
Shut up.
Exactly. She's clawing in this I'm like, oh, where's the last person I slept with so I could just not talk to you anymore?
I don't know. I hardly noticed Miranda's ass in this one. It was very subtle, right?
Very subtle. Yeah, all the camera angles are from inside her ass crack.
I was waiting for one that was like shot up between her legs, right. Just like staring right at Shepherd's face, just between her legs.
Right. You can see some like lip. A little lip in the foreground and Shepherd in the background. Yeah. It's like, can you imagine when they were framing some of those scenes and they're like, closer, closer. No, 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 no.
Yeah, I lower, want
to, lower, lower, lower. No, no, more closer. That crack is not razor sharp yet. We got to sharpen up that ass crack, guys. Come on.
Can you believe we get paid to do this?
And I swear I can see some camel toe on Edie.
You can. It's so obvious. It's like, it's just there. Like that. It's that white outfit. It's there. Like
on Miranda or Edie?
On Miranda.
Because I see it on Edie.
Does Edie have parts?
Sure. She's fully functional.
I guess so.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. I like Miranda. I was like looking for Miranda the whole game. I'm like, you know, whenever she sent an email or something, I'm like, I got to get over there. Get exactly, that ass crack.
But that's just it. It's like you're in the middle of something else and you're ready to go and like do a real mission. And then all of a sudden it's like, meet me at the Citadel. And I'm like, oh, fuck the Citadel.
No, but I'm like, maybe I could bang her. Like, am I supposed to go? If I don't go there, or maybe then I won't be able to bang her, even though like the whole universe is at fate here.
And all you get is a cutscene and lots of walking around.
Yeah.
Listening, walking. I mean, half the game is listening and walking.
No, well.
More than that.
More than half. All right. Have you tried the multiplayer at all, Ship?
I have not. I tried the iOS game.
Right.
That's no good.
The problem with the multiplayer is that it spoils all the single player locations for you.
Right, that's why I haven't played it.
Yeah, it was that kind of sucked for me since I had played so much of the multiplayer. Shay Jack writes in and asks, now that you've all finished, well, you haven't finished, but Mass Effect 3, knowing the ending, will you still be getting the future DLC, not including the enhanced free ending for the single player? If so, will it be right away, or will you wait for the inevitable sale? Wombat?
Maybe when it goes on sale. I mean, knowing that it won't impact a Mass Effect 4. Like, Mass Effect 2 DLC was worth playing because of what it meant for Mass Effect 3.
Right.
But this won't happen, so it would have to be something really special. So, yeah, like I don't even know what it's going to be. Or
film
what, you
a
know.
Porno with Miranda?
Seriously, you know, what is it? What is so going to be so amazing? Are they going to add another character to add to your ship? Is that because I don't want another character, because that means I have to play the whole game again.
Look, man, there ain't no more room for more characters.
Exactly.
What are you talking about? There's like two rooms that there's never been anybody in the entire game for me.
I know. Trust me, I noticed that. They'll never will be.
Hello, Governor. I'm the new character, the lovable chimney sweep.
My name is Pip, Chim Chim Cheree.
I am strong in biotics with my sweep power.
I've got a broom and I'm covered in coal.
And you can bang me too. Cheerio. All right. I don't know if I'll buy it. I bought all the Mass Effect 2 stuff. I'm interested in the, like, I downloaded the Resurgence pack, whatever the multiplayer pack was. But, you know.
Well, that was free.
You're downloading the chance to be able to unlock characters by getting those packs and two maps. But it's not like you get those characters. It's just you have the opportunity to win them when you can buy packs. I don't know. We'll see. What was that game that I bought, Shipwreck, that you finished that we were talking about earlier?
Anomaly?
Yes.
It's on the outline.
But there's more to the game, the name, than just
that. Oh, Anomaly
Warspace Battle?
I think that's what it is.
Earth Zone. Warzone Earth?
Warzone Earth. That sounds feasible. Sounds like a thing.
This is the reverse tower defense, tower offense game.
Yes, it's really good. We talked about it briefly last week, but I had only played like one level of it. I've finished it now. I think that's definitely worth, I think it's only $10.
I bought it. I forgot how much it cost though.
I'm pretty sure it's $10.
I got it yesterday. That's a
very cool game. You got it too, Wombat?
Yep, I have it. I played the first two levels of it last night.
Oh, okay. What'd you think?
I like it. It's definitely unique. I mean, I like what it does. I think I need to unlock more
units,
weapons. Yeah, more units for me to really get a feel for it. Because right now, mm-hmm. if it stays the way it is, it may feel a little too samey.
It doesn't, though. Like, it does a good job of mixing everything up as you go along.
That's what I'm looking forward to seeing. Like, if I do the same thing for like four or five levels in a row, I'm going to feel like this game is pretty, you know, one note. But if the units are there and if the variety's there later on, I definitely think it's unique. It's definitely worth trying out the demo if you're looking to, like you said, tower offense is kind of, it's a smart take. I really like the pipe dream map strategy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's cool. It is cool. It is the how you can you create the route that you take, that your forces take.
That's a big part of it. Like in the early levels, you're not sure if that's like going to be a major part of the game, but that's a huge portion of the game is directing your troops around and planning out your routes and everything. And there'll be things that make you have to change your routes midstream.
Yeah.
I
like that. I like that aspect of it. I think it keeps you on your toes. It makes it interesting. It's something I've never done really in a game like that before. And it's almost like melding some, you know, some real-time strategy into a tower defense game. So
we did get an email from the senior writer from the company that makes the game, and they want us to know if we're going to review the game.
I believe Shipwreck almost has one almost done, and then I have to send it to their PR company as well, who contacted me.
You got a letter from the PR company?
Yeah.
I got a letter from the senior writer.
I know. I'm just saying. The people who make this game are very interested in us, and I think it's great that we're all playing it.
They're Polish.
Good for them.
It's got a cool look to it, too, though. Like, it looks better than most Xbox Live Arcade games, I think. It's got a neat art style to it.
Nice use of filters, too.
Yeah. I almost like could imagine while I was playing it that it was like a Halo universe type of thing. Like I could imagine that working very well if they were like warthogs and stuff that you were directing around the battlefield and everything.
Yeah, I think that game, I see what you're saying. I would have played more of it, but I got another game yesterday also that is under embargo. But I could tell you that the game is rated M for mature, and the reasons that it's rated M, and you could probably look this up, is for blood and gore, intense violence, nudity, strong language, strong sexual content, and use of drugs.
Connect Rush.
So that is why that game is rated M, and I will say, yep.
It's got those things?
Mm-hmm. You said that, not me.
All right. All right, let's move on here. Did you see this $1,300 Resident Evil 6 Premium Edition that's coming out in Japan?
Yes, because it has a leather jacket. That's an expensive leather jacket.
Who would buy that? Shipwreck, would you buy? Is there any game, Shipwreck, that you would spend $1,300 on a premium edition for? Wombat, I know the answer is no. So Shipwreck, I have to ask you.
No. I would buy a pinball machine. Does that count?
Probably not, because the game is probably not going to come with a pinball machine.
How cool would that be, though?
That would be good.
That would be good.
Yeah, if you see somebody wearing this, and you can't even try on the jacket before you buy the game, right? How do they fit the jacket in that little box? They must have to vacuum pack it.
What little box?
I don't know. It's got to go on a store shelf somewhere, right? You're not going to hang it on a hook.
It'll just be in a large box.
I think they're selling it only online.
I'm just picturing you trying to get a leather jacket into a video game case.
I mean, you know, the shelf space is at a premium. Look what happened to Guitar Hero. When's the last time you've seen Guitar Hero on a store shelf? By the way, when I was in the Philippines, they had Guitar Hero in the window of a toy store. I really felt like I was in another world.
They still have it on store shelves here.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just like hidden away. Right. They're like not out in prime real estate anymore.
They've been made into sofas. What about Capcom's Captivate event? What exotic locale have game reviewers been flown to this year?
I believe it was Roma, Italy.
Ah, bueno.
And they announced there's going to be a Lost Planet 3 because everybody's been asking, where's Lost Planet 3?
That series has potential, though.
I like the first one. I didn't like the second one.
The second one was bad.
I'm looking at these other games, seeing if I care about any of them. I don't. I don't care about Resident Evil. I don't care about Devil May Cry. Dragon's Dogma. I'm not optimistic that that's going to work. And Resident Evil. Yeah, that's it. All right.
Well, could you really be confident in buying any Capcom game at launch?
Right. You got to wait for the Gold Edition.
Right. Don't you have to wait anyway? You have to wait at least a year. 9 months if it's a fighting game.
Yep. All right, what else we got here? Let's see. So Sony's forecasting a $6.4 billion loss. You probably read about that already. And PSN Zach Rack writes in and asks, how is Sony going to build a kick-ass PS4 when it's been losing billions of dollars? Microsoft has a pile of cash to blow on research and development. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. And the Vita seems to be not doing so well either. They've dropped to their new weekly low in Japan. About 9,000 units have been sold in the last week. And in comparison, the 3DS sold, I think it was 75,000 units. So I don't know. That's not good news. Oh, and here's Tycoon. Here's Tycoon.
What does he think about all this?
Ty, you got to let me finish the podcast, okay? And then we'll watch some hockey. I'm almost done. Your movie, because Shipwreck had to eat dinner, so it took, your movie started at a certain time.
Shipwreck's fault.
It is my fault.
And now it's over. It's nobody's fault. But why don't you go, can you do me a favor? Why don't you go back into the living room and close the door? No, I'm not done yet. And you can play with the iPad for a little bit. And then we'll... why don't you play with that game, the airplane game on the iPad? What's that? Air Wings?
Yeah.
You should play that. You like that? Yeah. It's on the iPad. Play it on the new iPad. It looks even better. Okay? Okay. Thanks, pal. I appreciate it. Okay. Can you close the door before you go? Okay. I'll close this one.
You
close
the other one.
Here's a bag of glass. Go find something to do with it.
What's that? Yeah, thanks, pal. Okay, go to the toilet. You don't have to tell me when you have to go to the toilet.
Yes, he does.
He does. He has to tell me.
Yes, he does. I'm sure he tells you every time.
He does.
It's a big production.
Even if it's 3 a.m, he has to come tell me that he's going to the toilet, even though I'm not required to do anything. Vita. I don't know, Ship. Vita.
You're going to put it on me, huh? It's a tough market out there. I don't know. There haven't been any games for it here.
Will there be a price drop before or after E3?
Announced at E3?
A price drop. Just a price drop. Before or after E3?
After E3.
It's after.
Or during.
Chances of there being a price drop after E3?
High. It's 99%. I mean, it could be, does Christmas count as after E3?
Yeah, I'll consider Christmas to be after E3.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be one.
Ship?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just not going to be moving any volume anytime soon.
Or a pack-in, something. I mean, something. It's just
there's definitely going to be a pack-in. That's a no-brainer there. They're going right. to throw Uncharted in there or something.
And a $50 bill.
Just $50 in cash? They'll knock $50 off and give you $50.
And again, I like my Vita. I play it every day. That's why I find little things to criticize about it, is because I want it to be better.
Right. Hold on. If you'll excuse me, I have to...
You don't have to tell us every time you have to go to the bathroom.
No, I have to turn off these alerts from my Game Center app. because it keeps telling me. I don't know how to do it, though. Twitter, I don't know. Edit. Shit, I'll just not look at my phone.
Just put the phone away.
Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll just delete the app. That'll work, right? Don't you think?
That sounds like an elegant solution to this problem that we're having while recording this podcast.
I don't want the hockey game spoiled for me. It's bullshit. And I can't... There we go. Game Center deleted. I'll just install it later. See? All right. Paranerd. Oh, wait. Are we done with the Vita?
We could be done with the Vita. Yes. Right.
Cag bag. We'll move to the cag bag. Paranerd writes in, did you guys see the Kane's Arcade video that the internet is going crazy over? I cried when I watched it.
Did you really?
I did.
You cried everything, though, so whatever. I do. You cried everything.
I cried during the Muppet movie, also.
Yeah. But
Heap sings the Rainbow Connection.
Oh my God.
Kermit. Really? Come on.
Really?
I don't know. It might have happened.
Maybe I'm just not that sensitive.
I don't think. Well,
no, you're sensitive.
Kazoo, anyone?
I'm not sensitive in that way.
Right. Did you watch the video? I know you Wombat watched the video. Did you, Ship?
No, I didn't. Describe it to me.
It's about a kid who works in, he basically, you know, hangs out with his dad at his dad's crummy auto parts store in East LA. And the kid built a carnival arcade out of cardboard boxes. And he sits outside his arcade that he made himself every day. And he has no customers because nobody comes to his dad's store because, one, it's in East LA and mostly it's an online business at this point. So basically some guy comes and, you know, some hipster dude comes and mm-hmm. plays the games and likes it and decides to make a short movie about it and set up a flash mob. So hundreds of people come to this kid's arcade. It's really cute.
It's cute. It's a very cute movie. It's feel good.
It's a feel good video, 10-minute video of the year.
It's a little long.
A little long at 10 minutes?
A little long at 10 minutes.
How come somebody wrote Skylanders Cloud Patrol in the
Shipwreck did because we because
so
ship
you, so you
ship
would say
I'm,
it.
Oh. Yeah. I said
we both have it. We both have it. You do too? What do you think?
It's pretty good.
It's not bad. I want it to be better.
I don't know. I think as everything Skylanders has been so far, it's better than it needs to be.
That's right. Probably true too. I'll give you that much. I haven't added in all my Skylanders yet just because I don't know where my little codes are. And I don't know. I just haven't put the game on.
Oh, is that what those codes are?
Yeah.
It's for real Skylanders. I know what that was for.
Yeah, so if you own the Skylander, you don't have to actually unlock it or spend money to, you know, unlock them. You can just enter in the code you already have. Like, I probably have pretty much everything in the game already. I just haven't unlocked it yet.
Right. I understand.
It's a fun little shooting gallery / fruit ninja type of thing.
Yeah.
With some jetpack joyride leveling and goals and everything. It's very well done.
I like playing it while I take a shit.
I mean, it may be the best thing Vicarious Visions has ever made. Ouch.
Yeah, I was looking else to see what they made.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, ring a bell?
Ah, okay. Wow, they've made a lot. Wow, they're very prolific.
Yes. Unfortunately, prolific and good don't necessarily mean the same
Guitar Hero Aerosmith for the Wii. That was memorable.
Ragging on
Vicarious. I'm trying to find something here that's going to redeem them. I'm looking.
They're very busy. They were very busy, though, for sure.
They made some ports of some good games.
Uh-huh. Let's move on. Sagata Sanshiro 1 writes in and wants to know what happened to the CAG convention idea. Forget PAX. I want to go to the GPD Expo. Yeah, whatever happened to that, Wombat? You were supposed to be spearheading that initiative.
Yeah. I was? Oh, it'll happen next week.
At Wombat's house.
Next week.
I don't know. We don't have the audience that Penny Arcade has to get 60,000 people to come to a convention.
No, we don't even have that many listeners.
We would have to have it at like a Chuck E. Cheese somewhere.
Yep.
There's one by me.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Nabe Shin 186 writes in, now that Cheapy and Wombat have destroyed my views on Suda and Tim Schafer, what heroes of theirs were they upset to learn were really douches? I have a feeling that Wombat has somebody in mind. Am I wrong?
I'm thinking. I wish I had more time to think about that question. Oh. You could come back to me.
I mean, we met Howard Stern, and he was nice. He wasn't douchey.
He was super nice.
Anyone yeah, douchey? No. No.
You haven't met Tebow yet, right, Wombat?
No, I have not met Tebow. Bronson Pinchot was kind of a douche when I met him.
Wayne Gretzky kind of walked right by us when we asked him for his autograph. That was kind of douchey.
Larry Bird shook my hand once.
That was nice of him.
I once ran into Vince McMahon in an airport, and he was super nice. Last time when I went to E3 flying home, Peter Dinklage was sitting in front of me.
In coach?
In coach.
Why is he taking coach? Oh, he's not taking coach anymore, I'm sure.
Maybe not. Yeah, this is pre-Game of Thrones.
I guess like business class is kind of you get much better food. So I was going to say the legroom's not an issue.
But the
food is a problem. Have you seen this show called Life's Too Short? It's a BBC show where they take the guy. You remember the movie Willow?
Warwick Davis.
So it's about Warwick Davis. It's like a mockumentary where it's a down and out Warwick Davis. He's got a huge tax bill he needs to pay and all the shit he's going through. I think you would like it, Wombat.
I'm sure.
I also don't think you could figure out a way to watch it. let's see. Shipwreck, you don't have any douches? No douches. Summer's Eve? What about Summer's Eve? How was he nice?
I've never met her.
She's a douche.
Is she?
Cytochrome wants to know how the team's E3 plans are coming together. Any particular titles you're all looking forward to? Speculation on announcements.
I still need to register.
So Wombat's done nothing. I've booked the hotel and my flight. And Shipwreck?
I need to send in my paperwork, but I've already registered.
Oh, I need to register that. I need to do. What paperwork?
You got to send in the paperwork. If you register as a podcaster, I think there's less paperwork.
Okay. Yeah, I need to register and then send in my paperwork and book a flight. What I'm probably going to do, as you know, because I'm sure everyone listening at home cares, is I'm going to need to go to work that Monday, like my real job. But as soon as I finish up what I know I need to do that day, I'm going to leave and try to, you know, catch a flight in the late afternoon and fly to LA Monday afternoon.
But you're not going to buy the ticket ahead of time?
Well, no, I'll buy the ticket ahead of time. I'm just saying, you know, that's my plan. Is
going to see if the scalpers have when he gets there.
No. Yeah, no, it's not airplane too.
I also subscribe to the Audioboo Pro or whatever it is. Something that I have to pay for, so we can do longer audio booths now.
Excellent. I can't wait. So
I like it.
So I should be there like really late Monday / early morning Tuesday.
Gotcha. Well, let me know.
Mm-hmm. I will let you know.
Yeah, let us know when you show up.
I'll let you know when I show up. Yeah. No. I'll be there, and I'll be there for Tuesday through whatever it is, Friday. Mm-hmm. But
all right then.
Yeah, I can't miss my son's first birthday.
Probably not.
No, I don't think I could do that.
Waza Plinola wants to know what other podcasts we listen to. Wombat, you listen to a lot, I know.
I do. I listen to too many. Shows that I've really been enjoying that I don't think many people listen to yet. You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes is very funny. Some of the older episodes are actually funnier than some of the more recent ones, but still, they're always very interesting. I recommend You Made It Weird. I also recommend the Dana Gould Hour. If you're a fan of Dana Gould, it's very funny, and he's only done about 3 episodes so far, so you could get in on the ground floor with that.
With Dana Gould.
He's very funny.
I know him. His career never really took off, did it?
Well, he was an executive producer of The Simpsons for a period of time, which so kind of, yeah. He's also married to the head of development for HBO, so that kind of, you know, that could help too. And a friend of mine started a podcast called the Actors Grind Podcast, where if you're ever curious about, you know, what commercial actors go through in a day, it's very interesting. The first 3 guests and the hosts are all friends of mine. So
wow,
check that out. Yeah, look at that.
Excellent. Shipwreck, what about you?
Other than gaming podcasts, which I don't really even listen to that many of those anymore, I listen to the Might Be Giants podcast. That's about it. I haven't been listening to podcasts here lately.
Gotcha.
It's a dying medium.
It's dying.
I don't think so.
I don't listen to any, really. I listened to the This American Life episode with the guy who was lying about the Apple, the Foxconn factories. Mm-hmm. I listened to that one episode. It was pretty interesting. And that's about it. All right, then. I think we are ready to wrap it up, guys. I can go take care of Ty. Yeah, the school week is so weird this week. It's only like 2 days of school. But anyway, follow us on Twitter. Doesn't matter when school is. GPD, Wombat5277, Shipwreck. And like us on Facebook, facebook.com/cheapassgamer. And, I don't know, review us on iTunes, please. And, of course, GoDaddy.com, 10% off any order, CAG 10, $5 off a $30 order, CAG 5 off 30, and $7.49 domain registrations with CAG domain. That's GoDaddy.com for web hosting and domain registration. And that's it.
Bread's done.
Holy cow. Are you as confused as I am about these new tax laws? Thank goodness you can buy all the things you need with a fixed rate second mortgage loan as low as today's prime rate of 7.5%. That's right, 7.5%. Best of all, the low interest payments may be fully deductible. Qualified homeowners get instant approval. Call the Money Store toll free. Dial 1-800-221-9000.